Thank you, Brother Tommy. Good evening, everybody. The Lord is good, is he not?
Praise the Lord. I'd like to turn to Psalm 23 tonight. Some time ago, I gave this message. The Lord has sort of burned my heart to repeat it for a simple reason, is that we all need encouragement today, don't we? And that's the real object of the purpose of going over Psalm 23 again. And you might say, oh yeah, I heard that, but just a reminder to our hearts, so that we might be encouraged to know really who God is, and to be able to trust Him, and even in our prayer, to believe that God is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What a God we have. Always willing to hear our cry. He's never on a time schedule, that is, He doesn't have a clock in wherever He is, which is everywhere. We are relegated to time, but God is not. And He's always on time, that is, His purposes are fulfilled, just as the Bible says, in the nick of time. That God is always at the appropriate time to help. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Interesting that here the reference to the Lord being the shepherd. Who do we think of when we think of a shepherd? Think of the Lord Jesus, don't you? He said He is a great shepherd who gave His life or given His life for the sheep. He is a chief shepherd. And so it's nice to even imply, it would not be wrong, that this beautiful verse is also in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. There's a lot that can be said about the shepherding care of the master. I tell you, He tends His flock, and humanly speaking, the shepherd risks his life and facing all kinds of danger. But the shepherd stays with his flock. He never forsakes them. You've heard it tell of the man who was driving the sheep and was flogging them, and this person says, how dare you, a shepherd like you, beating your sheep and driving them? He said, ma'am, I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher. He was driving to the slaughterhouse. Wow, thank God our Savior is altogether different. He never drives. He always leads. And He feeds. And He risks His life for us. But here, the title of the Lord is beautiful. And I like these titles. We're going to run through them so that our hearts will be encouraged. Here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is our sufficiency. He will provide. So here it's seen as Jehovah Jireh. You can make a note of it if you want. It's always good to keep it. Tuck it in your Bible. Always good to bring a pen out, a pencil, some paper. You never watch those television preachers on TV with their church congregation. You notice how they got all these big books and they're writing all the time. It's a good practice, beloved, so that you never know when you're reading the psalm, you may come across other preachers who give a different thought line of thought on Psalm 23, and you say, oh, Jehovah Jireh, which means, that's the title of the Lord shall provide. God, love that. He promised to be the adequate supplier of our need. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:19. Boy, it's good to know that God has an abundant supply, always willing to be there to give us what we need. And sometimes we hear people say, He's not going to give us our wants, but He's going to give us our needs. Well, not to be controversial, but you know, sometimes the Lord gives you your wants. See, that's how good He is. You have a want, you have a desire. Psalm 37 bears that out. You read Psalm 37, and you have that truth brought up. And but He's not going to give us everything, so just anything, but that He knows is going to hurt us. But He says, I shall not want. That means it's sufficient. That it's going to be adequate. It's going to be enough. Two men in the Old Testament, and one was frightened to death of his brother, and he saw him coming a long way off, and he says, now I know Esau is going to take my life. There's going to be a battle. And you remember how, make a long story short, you remember how when they finally got there, Jacob was so surprised, Esau was not going to kill him, and he had all kinds of cattle and different gifts that he had laid out, so that when Esau came, he said, "What mean ye by all of these things?" And remember, Jacob says, "Well, I want my Lord to have these as gifts." And the first time the two boys ever said this, and Esau said, "But I have enough." And Jacob says, "And I have enough." Now, when Jacob said that, that really was a mouthful. You know, Jacob was always a man with a grasping, greedy hand. That's how he stole the birthright from his brother. It would have been his, but he took it on the false pretenses. But they both said, "I have enough." Do you know what contentment is when you come to the phase of life and you feel you have enough? God is going to give you more, mind you, but you're just content that God is good and supplied all your needs. And after all, don't mean to put a sad note here. You know, death is the level of a lot of things. No matter what you accumulate in life, when we die, we're going to leave it all behind. Some people say, "What did he leave?" I tell him, "He left all. Left everything." You know, we can't, the old saying, we can't take it with us. Jack Benny said, "But I'm going to try." Remember that comedian, some of you older ones? "But I'm going to try. Try all your life." So everything in life is of no consequence anymore down here. All the material wealth, is, while it is good and what God blesses us with, serves a purpose, but it's always on a temporary basis, beloved. But when we realize the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, I shall not walk content. Boy, if we only realize that every day of our life. Some people might say, "Oh, Brother Frank, you're saying that now because you live in an affluent society and you got a big house and your vehicles and you got your boat. You can say that now." Sometimes when I look at them, I have a guilty conscience, to tell you the truth. But the Lord gave it to me. I didn't argue with him. And no, let me tell you something. I know what it is to be poor. I don't want to start on that because if I tell you about my poverty line, when I was a young man, a boy coming up, a lot of our young people here in Spanish Wells don't know a thing about poverty. But I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to have no shoes. I know what it is not even to have shoes to go to Sunday school. Don't talk about shoes to go to school. Uniform? That's a joke. Man, we were fortunate to get clothes to put on our back. Mama went to the church sale. When a lot of the clothes she bought was an embarrassment to me as a young boy. I had to wear it. However, Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want to be my parents. Do what it was to be content with what they had. I wasn't as a boy, I'll guarantee you that. But you learned it later on when you become a Christian. So it's Jehovah Jireh. What's your need tonight? Don't think in material things. Don't think of monetary aspects. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He'll meet my need. It's Jehovah Jireh. Tell me, in your heart, what is your greatest need in life? A lot of us is health. A lot of us see our children saved, our grandchildren saved. Boy, that's a great need. You know? So we need to really pray to the Lord to this end. Oh my. Then verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Here, Jehovah Shalom. He leads me beside what? Still waters. I thought of this verse today so much because, you know why? All of the problems of the world. Do you know right in Baghdad? Brother Grout was sharing with us this morning. There's a big assembly right in Baghdad. And all around that assembly, they have broken down trucks and cars and all kinds of stuff and have formed a perimeter around the chapel. You know why? They've been bombed, they've been shot at, and the preacher there, Brother Thomas, he is preaching, souls are getting saved there. And of course, the Muslim world doesn't like it, and they're under attack constantly. But you know, marvelous how they still keep on witnessing and preaching. Problems in Beirut. We got a lot of Christians in Beirut, you know, in Lebanon. The other day they were bombed, as you know, how how scary that was. And a lot of believers there. Problems everywhere you go. Saudi Arabia, Christians that are working on the faces of Americans, that are expatriates that are working there, they dare not give out a gospel tract. It could mean their death. How spare it is. The violence that is in the world tonight. And I could say it here, but God knew what he was saying when he called Esau, he shall be a violent man. Let me tell you, the violence has been finally been manifesting itself. Don't be surprised at that. Muhammad, the leader of the Muslim party, one of the great leaders of the Muslim party, said, he said, Islam must be spread around the world. If people will not listen, then it must be done by the sword. Can you imagine that? They're great leaders. But our Jesus is different. Well, we have to be thrilled about it. You know why? You take the four Gospels who wrote about Jesus separate times. And the accounts are so unique, it's so perfect, you cannot find one contradiction. Our champion, our Lord, does not lead by the sword. Peter, put up your sword. They that use the sword shall perish by the sword. What was his greatest weapon? Love. Love will conquer the world. Mahatma Gandhi said, the one who was the main reason for getting India's independence from the British Empire. Mahatma Gandhi told a preacher, who was a friend of his, he said, if you Christians would believe what your master taught, you could revolutionize the entire world. Oh, that's a rebuke in itself, and yet it is true. If we actually believe the teachings of Christ, followed them faithfully, we could turn the world upside down. Mahatma Gandhi was not a Christian. But that's what he said. He read the Bible a lot, you see. And so here we have Shalom. He's our peace. I don't know, I cannot answer except to say the goodness of God, the grace of God, why we've enjoyed peace here in our country as long as we have. But with all the turmoil going on, don't be surprised if one of these days we find our peace in our country shattered. Don't be surprised. But for the Christian, it is still true. He leadeth me, or he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still water. What a Jehovah, what a Savior we have. Shalom. Peace. Peace. We have the peace of God, and we have the peace with God every day of our life. Now some of us, we all have the peace of God in our hearts because we were born again. You remember the day when you gave your heart to the Lord. Wonderful day, wasn't it? And you had God's peace. You know that we're destined for glory. One of these days he's going to give us a glorified body, and we're going to be singing up there like we never sang before. And it's going to be just great hallelujah time. Serving the Lord, whatever capacity, boy, it's going to be great. You know something, beloved? You know, it's also nice to know that while we're down here in a world of turmoil, we still can have peace with God every day. Some of us don't enjoy the peace of the Lord the way we should. But we get, by this, I mean to say that the devil knows how to rob us of our peace and of our rest. It's a constant thing that we need to understand. We can enjoy the peace of the Lord every moment of the day, the rest of the Lord Jesus every moment of the day. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the rest of salvation. Nobody can take that away from you. Feel forever. But then it says, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Wait a minute, Lord. You said I had rest already. Come unto me. I trust you. I have rest. Now you're saying you will find rest. How can I find rest if I already have it? Why do I have to look for it? Why do I have to find it? Well, the Lord Jesus was speaking about another rest. He's speaking about a rest every day in the Christian's life. This is what we call the rest of discovery. The rest of pursuit. We must pursue this rest. You'll be surprised how many believers are restless. Rest. including the preacher sometimes, he did not care to get very rough. But it's nice to know that he decided to still call it Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. Wonderful Savior, I tell you that we have. And we worship Him, we praise Him, we thank Him, not like in Italy. In Italy, they have when they have a big concert on, they actually have some people in the congregation, they pay them to clap, to applaud. They're paid. Can you imagine that? Well, we don't have to be paid in order to applaud our Lord Jesus. Thirdly, He restores my soul. Verse 3, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here, the word Sikenu, the title of the Lord is Sikenu. The Lord our righteousness. And He leads us into this path day by day. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they, what? Comfort me. What a beautiful psalm. Too bad we only use this psalm at funerals. We need to read it more often in our daily life. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Jehovah Shema. He is altogether different. Not Shalom. Here, He is with us. Your rod and your staff, they come. He's a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. Always with us. Praise be to God. Thank God for the promise of His word. We're living in an age where we have, you never know. I understand that poor gentleman that took his family out to the airport yesterday. I understand it. And he went home. I don't know the circumstances. He finally sat down in his layoff chair. He was gone. You wonder why I preach the way I do Sunday nights in the gospel? I'm not up here for a show. I'm not up here to waste time, waste people's time. I know you're not wasting my time. We have a mission. The mission is to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and preach the gospel with passion, with concern, and with seriousness. The people who are facing death, some go out to eternity. Serious. And it's going to happen all of the time. As I mentioned some time ago, looking at the obituary and tribune, I was so surprised. It looked like at least 90% or near it were people from 55 years of age and under. And two pages. I couldn't hardly understand why so many people had died in the Bahamas that week. And every day you pick up the paper and look at the obituary, it's really astounding how many people die in our Bahamas. What is it, 300,000 population? And so, the risks are always there, or it could always happen. And you know, if it happens to me, you can say, well, Brother Perry, you know, sort of logical. And, well, he's getting up in years now, here that I pass on. You feel, well, I put in my time. I understand that. I'm not a fool. I'm open-minded. I'm like the old lady says, I'm ready to go, but I'm willing to wait. Amen. I guess most of us are like that. Amen. Of course. Nothing wrong with that. You know, Paul wanted to wait too. Paul said it's more needful that I what? I remain. But I have a desire to depart. And it's so much in store for us. Don't be like the old lady who had an accident in the car. She was a Christian, and she was telling me one day about the accident. She said, Brother Perry, you know, but for the grace of God, I could have been in heaven. I said, yeah, that's terrible. You don't want to go to heaven. I was kind of rude. It jolted her a bit. Said, well, I didn't mean it that way. I said, I know. Sometimes we do make heaven look like a place to shy away from. How you doing, Mr. Johnny? Yeah, I'm trying my best to keep out of heaven. Said, what do you mean, trying your best to keep out of heaven? Said, I had 21 pills for breakfast, and I had another 21 pills for lunch, and I had another 21 pills for supper. Said, if that ain't trying to keep out of heaven, you tell me what is. Well, I never thought of it that way, but he probably has a point. Maybe even taking all those tablets, he'll go to heaven a little faster than he thinks. However, Jehovah Shema, you are with me, even in the face of death, and you comfort me. Oh, what a beautiful word. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I love this. You anoint my head with oil. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah the healer. Brother Neil Dougal used to use this verse a lot. Rapha. The Lord healed him of his heart attack that he had. And we prayed to that end that God would heal his children. And there's so many of the Lord's people that seem to be plagued with illnesses today. I don't have any answer for it. I really don't. But there are a lot of people that are ill. Believe me, there are a lot. And so we pray and we recognize the fact he is our healer. The Lord Jesus is wonderful when you think of it, who he is, what he has accomplished on our behalf. We should always focus on him, of course, as our healer. And we want to be healed for the glory of God. Why do we want to be healed? That I feel better? Or live longer? Why do I want to live longer? Oh, Brother Perry, I want to live longer so that I may glorify God. I want to be healed. I want to be free from pain because I can concentrate a lot better to do the Lord's work. That should be the motivating force and power in why we want to live longer. You know that? If you want to live longer just to carry on business as usual, there are limitations to that and it's boredom. God gets no glory out of that. I know I'm being kind of blunt here, but you're following me, aren't you? God will heal us a lot faster and sooner if we get the right perspective. You know, we're his children. He loves us, and he's going to take care of us. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer, as we have here. He anoints my head with oil, and oil was a great healing remedy in those days, in Bible days. So it suggests healing, you see. And beloved, listen. We need that spiritual healing above all things. We don't hear too much prayer about that. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and what? And confess their sin, I will hear from heaven, and I will what? Heal their land. This is the kind of healing that we need more than any kind of healing in the world. Physical healing, God will heal it. Thank God for that. Pray to that end. But let's start praying a little more for spiritual healing. Heal me from gossip, Lord. Tearing that person's character to pieces. It's a disease. Heal me, Lord, from ill thoughts about my brother or about my sister. I need healing. We all need healing from this. Heal me, Lord, from a lack of prayer. That I might be on fire and pray a little more. I need this. Lord, help me to get into the Word of God. Heal me from my lethargy, my complacency. Heal me from those things that blind me. Takes up all of my time and becomes the center of my attraction. Lord, heal me. Heal me of these things. Beloved, we need a lot of healing. These areas of our life. Let's pray to that end. Anoint me, Lord, with the Spirit of God. Here's a picture of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Anoint me with the Holy Spirit. I know we all have the anointing. We became a Christian. But that special anointing by the Spirit of God to be more effective, to be more loving, to be more caring. God knows I need this. Oh, Lord, heal me from a cold heart. Heal me from an icebox Christianity. Lord, heal me from just thinking of myself, my selfish ambition. Lord, open my eyes that I might see you more clearly. I need eyesight, spiritual eyesight. Put oil on my eyes, Lord. Put oil on my eyes so that I will not see nothing dirty on television or on the internet. Heal my eyes, Lord, from those things that are so distracting. My heart, Lord, needs healing. And David said, enlarge my heart He didn't mean physical enlargement of the heart. He meant that his heart might be broadened more toward God. Enlarged toward the Lord. Heal me, Lord, that I might have spiritual vision. Heal me, Lord, that I might be able to walk my feet, Lord. I have cramps. Worldliness occupies my time, my attention. And I'm walking in my own way. Lord, heal my feet that I might walk with God. Help me, Lord. I need healing. I need healing for these ears, Lord, when I hear a lot of things that I ought not hear. I hope you don't think I'm just rambling tonight. My heart is just so burdened about healing in my own heart. I got enough healing in my heart not to judge you. I need enough healing in my own soul to judge you. I just pass it on that we might recognize, hey, Jehovah Raphi, anoint my head with oil so that my cup will run over. My cup will run over with what? With joy, with peace, with help, with strength. Then it says, what? Verse 6. Got your Bible? Let's read it together. Verse 6, everybody. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't it wonderful? What a beautiful verse to close out with. Jehovah Nisi. He's our banner. And we're going home. Love it. I don't know if you're aware of it. I gave you up. But we are going home. We are going home. The man was dying. And he said, bring. He had a stroke. But he could get that word out. Bring. They brought him something to eat. And he ignored it. Bring. They brought him a glass of water, thinking he might want something cool to drink. Bring. They were frustrated, not knowing what the dear man wanted. He said, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Those words, his breath left his body, and he was in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Bring forth the royal diadem. Crown him. Now, it took 10 minutes from you last week. They'll try to give it back to you. But I'm going to try and do something. Bear with me, eh? I love this song. And I'm going to try and sing it for you. And the timing might be out a little. Just bear with me, all right? You know I'm not a professional singer, but I just love to sing. Often I stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for the men, no peace could be found. Praise God, I'm glad that He didn't come down. He didn't come down. Oh, no, He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set Him free. But He stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture His mother there with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned Him and pierced His side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But He prayed, forgive them, and didn't come down. He didn't come down, oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. He didn't come down. Oh, no, you can sing it. He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Just let the tape run, Rupert. Don't stop it. If you want to hear some real singing now, sing that again. Let it run a bit. I want you to join in if you can, okay?